Good morning. I'm Mark Barnes. I'm part of the preaching team here during this interim period of our church history, and it is a pleasure and an honor to be here and come before the Word of God with you this morning. Would you pray with me as we open? Father, we come to you and we ask that you would give us ears to hear and hearts that desire to respond to your Word this morning. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in the summer of 2015, I found myself on an airplane flying to Las Vegas, where I would appear on stage in a magic show. I have a friend, a good friend, who does magic professionally, and he was attending a conference, a magician's conference there in Las Vegas, and they had called and said, would you be willing to be part of the magic show? And I said, sure. So they flew me out, and during the middle of the show, they randomly selected him. He came up to the stage where they had a giant screen that showed his, a pad that showed his Facebook account, where they had him sign in and then go to his contacts, and they said, now let's just spin your contacts and plop your finger on a name. And he did. And it was my name. And they walked him up on stage where there was this giant cardboard box, and the magician went behind and levitated it up in the air. And then when it hit the stage, I came out. It was a pretty crazy thing. I don't know if I've done many crazier things than that. What I did not expect was that I would become so popular. See, after the show, we milled around. I mean, it was a magic convention. So we went to different events and saw different things. And as we were walking around, everywhere I went, people would go, you're the guy in the box. Hey, you're the guy in the box, aren't you? Yeah, there's the guy in the box. And then it was usually followed up by, can you tell me how that was done? Well, as the evening went on, my friend and I decided we would stop and get some ice cream and sit down and catch up. And so we did, and even in the line to get ice cream, people were like, that's the guy in the box. And we sat down where I thought it would be nice and quiet, we could have conversation, when an older gentleman came walking up to us, and he said, mind if I join you? Which I thought was kind of odd, except my friend looked up and said, oh, no, not at all. Have a seat. He obviously knew this man, or at least knew of him, and the elderly man sat down next to us, and he said, Mark, this is Gene Anderson. Now, for most of you like me, I did not know who Gene Anderson was, but he said, Gene Anderson is a very famous magician. Most of the people in the world that do the famous tear and restore newspaper trick do Gene's version of it. He's the one that created that. I went, okay. Things have just changed. Because you see, I knew that Gene wasn't going to go, hey, could you tell me how they did that? I knew that, like my friend, Gene knew how they did the magic trick. But Gene knew that I had information that was quite important to him. There was details, and there were just things that he wanted to know more about how that whole thing took place. And so he said, can we talk? And we did. You see, why do I share that story? Well, as we have hit Matthew 13, Jesus has changed his teaching style. We see through the early parts of Matthew that Jesus was preaching and teaching throughout the countryside. And he has been doing that for some time. But we get to 13, and all of a sudden, Jesus starts teaching in parables. And 2 weeks ago, Stuart talked about why. Why suddenly this shift? And for me, this idea of the story I just shared kind of helps me understand what Jesus was doing when he was sharing parables. You see, there were crowds. There were lots of crowds that had gathered around and were watching and listening and just curious about this man named Jesus from Nazareth. And I'm sure they were like, oh, hey, I heard he did this, or I heard he was talking about this the other day, and maybe they had said, oh, I hear he's out by the sea today. Let's go listen. And Jesus starts teaching in parables for a couple reasons. First of all, he was fulfilling prophecy from Isaiah that said that that you will indeed hear but never understand, and you will indeed see but never perceive. He was fulfilling what was promised in the book of Isaiah. And then I also think he was separating. He was separating the crowds, the curious, the curiosity seekers, from those that truly believed he was the Messiah. That he was preaching about the kingdom of heaven, and he had something of great worth that they wanted to find out more. And so that is what's happening. And here we come to the second parable found in chapter 13 today. And I want you to imagine, now Sharon just read us both passages here in Matthew 13, so we get the parable and we get Jesus' explanation. But I want you to imagine for right now that you are part of the crowd. We see earlier, and this might be a different time, but there's a crowd that had gathered, and so Jesus gets in a boat, has them row a little bit offshore, and the crowd is standing on shore listening to him, and it says that he's teaching them many things using parables. And today we get to this parable. And I want you to imagine you know nothing else other than what Jesus is saying right here in this parable. So listen as I read it once again. He presented another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while people were sleeping, his enemy came, sowed weeds among the wheat, and left. When the plant sprouted and produced grain, then the weeds also appeared. The landowner's servants came to him and said, "Master, did you sow good seed in your field? Then where did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he told them. "So do you want us to go and pull them up?" The servants asked. "No," he said. "When you pull up the weeds, you might also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At the harvest time, I'll tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and tie them in bundles to burn them, but collect the wheat in my barn." Now imagine you just hear this, and you hear this story of a man who sows wheat in a field. And during the night, an enemy comes, and the enemy sows weeds in this field. The servants, sometime later, it starts to grow, it comes up, and at some point they go, "Wait a minute, didn't you sow good seed?" And he says, "Yes." "Where did all these weeds come from?" "The enemy did this." "Do you want us to tear them out?" "No." "No, let them grow together until the time of the harvest, because you might damage the wheat when you tear out the weeds. But there will come a time when, at the harvest, the weeds will be gathered and bundled up and burned, and the wheat will be gathered and put in the barn. Thank you all for coming." Wait, imagine that that's all that you've heard. And you're like, hang on, wait. I'm sure there were those that go, "Oh, that was profound." And others are like, do you get what he's means? And I'm sure there were some that just went, I don't know what that means. Why do I think that? Because his own disciples didn't know what he meant. You see, he was separating those that were just curious, that really hadn't bought into his kingship, that they hadn't bought into the fact that the kingdom of heaven was near, the king was near. They were curious. And so he gives them this story that has deep meaning, and yet for most, they don't understand it. Well, the disciples come, we're told later in the passage. Disciples come, Jesus leaves the crowd, he goes into a home, and the disciples gather and they go, hey, Jesus, could you explain that parable of the weeds? And here's what I think is important. You notice they didn't say, could you explain this parable of the wheat? They say, can you explain this parable of the weeds? Because I think that is what they realize is the important thing here. Jesus, last week, Drew had preached on the good soil. I think they kind of grasped that the wheat is a seed that planted in good soil is producing a good crop. But what are these weeds that you're talking about? And so maybe you as a kid, as a youngster, got a decoder ring, okay? I'm going way back for some of you. But maybe in school you were given a secret message and then an answer key that you could mark which letters were which, and oh, this is what it says. Well, Jesus, in his explanation, basically gives them an answer key to who are the players in this parable. So listen, as he just goes straight through it, he says, the one who sows the good seed, that's the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one. The enemy is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. Okay. Preaching parables is kind of interesting because Jesus gives a parable, and in like this case, then he tells you what it means. And you're like, okay, here we go. This is it. But I want us to walk through because I think our biggest thing in dealing with parables is, what's our response? Jesus is going to give a parable. Jesus is going to explain the parable. The question is, what are we going to do with that information? How do we respond? So in Jesus' explanation, he says there are two that are sowing. There are two kinds of seed. And there is one field. It starts out by saying, the one who sows good seed is the Son of Man. Son of Man is a term we've run into several times in the book of Matthew. It was Jesus' favorite name for himself. It's not used by anybody else, but it was his way of proclaiming his humanity. And as I shared several months ago, his deity, as Daniel saw this one who looked like the Son of Man coming on the clouds, given a throne to judge and rule over the world. And so in his title, the Son of Man, Jesus is proclaiming his humanity and his deity. And he says, the one who's sowing the good seed is the Son of Man. It's me. That's what he was telling his disciples. And then he says, and there's opposition to this. Who's the one that opposes? Well, it's Satan. Based upon his explanation, it is Satan. And he is sowing the bad seed. He is sowing the weeds. Now, we need to explain what these weeds are. Anybody have weeds in their yard yet? Yeah? Okay. Usually, we think of weeds as dandelions, thistles, things like that, right? Might be beautiful. Might be these beautiful purple flowers that grow all over your yard. Problem is, they're not supposed to be there. But that's what we tend to think of when we think of weeds. But that's not what Jesus was talking about. Some of you might, in some other translations, hear the word tares, right? The wheat and the tares. Tares, it comes from the Greek word, let's see if I can say it, ziazanon, which is a type of darnel plant, okay? It's a type of darnel. Now, what's interesting about darnel, it's called fake wheat, okay? If you look, you see the wheat, and you see the darnel, the tares, the weeds. And so what you see is they look very much alike up until a point when they produce grain. Wheat produces this grain that tends to be lighter in color, where darnel tends to produce grain that is more purplish and dark in color. That's when you can start to tell which is the darnel, which is the wheat. So the question is, my notes just left me. Okay, there we go. And darnel can be toxic. Some forms of darnel can actually be toxic to humans and livestock. So the enemy, Satan, comes and sows darnel, fake wheat, in with the good wheat. And the question is, why? You see, this darnel, this weed, what is the purpose? There is no other purpose than making the wheat less valuable, right? I have cousins that are farmers, and I remember years ago them telling me they grew corn. And they said, you know what we discovered? Sometimes, in order to hide their marijuana, people will come and grow it in the cornfield. Now, what's the purpose of that? Well, they're hiding it. They're trying to get around the law, but they have something of value that there's a reason for them trying to grow that. Not here. Not here. What we see is simply weeds. Darnel plant. That the only purpose is to bring less value to the wheat, to disrupt, to destroy. When Satan sows seed, his goal is not to produce anything of value. I want you to hear that and listen to that. That really sunk in just a few years ago for me. When you hear people say, well, you know what? If all my friends are going to hell, that's where I want to be. If I want to party, if I want to live the life I want, I don't want this religious stuff. I just want to do what I want to do. And if that's hell, I'm in. Sometimes we think of Satan as going, hey, come on my team. There's team God and there's team Satan. Come on my team. Be a part of my community. Be a part of my group of people. We'll have a great time. Here's what we realize. Satan does not want you on his team. Satan's only goal is to destroy you. To use you, abuse you, and throw you out. You are a child marked with the image of the king. He does not want that at all. He is not inviting you to be a part of his team. He desires to use you against the creator and then to destroy. First Peter tells us about Satan being like a prowling lion looking for anyone he can destroy. And so here in this parable, we see Satan as the one who is sowing the bad seed. His only goal is to destroy the field, destroy the wheat, destroy the creation of the Son of Man. So, here's my first takeaway. And before you start to go, oh, have the kids gather up their stuff. We're already on the takeaways. We're about ready to wrap it up. I told you, with parables, I feel like Jesus has explained it. Our goal is, what do we take away from it? How do we respond to it? And I'm going to give you some that went through my head. I like Stuart's, like, these are my takeaways. I hope that as we've gotten into the Word this morning, as you go home and you reread this, and I hope that you do, the Holy Spirit will help you go, what do I need to do with this? How do I respond to this? But let me share, I think I have four different takeaways that I think we can see here in this parable. The first one is, when the servants ask Jesus, they're asking the landlord or the landowner, how did this happen? Right? They're shocked. Didn't you plant good seed? How did this happen? And Jesus, I think, would respond, the enemy did this. So often, we hear ourselves probably and others blame God for the things the enemy has done. How would a God that loves allow this? How would a God who loves do this? Why would God create that? Why would God do this? And I think that's what the question we hear among the servants. How did this happen? And the answer is, the enemy has done this. I want you to think about Jesus as he has been painted by Matthew here in the Gospel of Matthew. As he has gone around, he is sowing the seeds of the kingdom of God. And what do we see? We see healing. We see people that can't see, their sight restored, can't hear, their hearing restored. People that are outside of community, whether that is because of leprosy or the woman with the blood disorder, that by law they cannot be a part of the community. He restores and brings them back into the fellowship of the community. He casts out demons. He raises people to life. And he proclaims salvation for sin. Those are the seeds of the Son of Man. And yet so often, we can get wrapped up in the idea of, how did God let this happen? Why would God allow this to happen? When we see our society and the things unraveling around us, and we're like, God, why would you allow this to happen? When we see illness, when we see death, when we see brokenness, when we see addictions, God, why would you allow this to happen? These are the seeds of the enemy. This is not wheat. Jesus proclaimed the kingdom of heaven is near. And he was showing what that was. He is the king. But I think we can also realize that there are two people sowing, there are two seeds, but there is one field. In this parable, Jesus is saying, yes, at this time, you as wheat and them as weeds are going to be planted in the same soil. You are going to coexist in the same field, breathe the same air, live life together. And so, the next thing is, the second takeaway for me, which makes sense. Well, shouldn't we tear them out? The servants ask a great question. Oh, there are weeds in the field, Jesus. Do you want us to go tear them out? Now, if you didn't know, you'd go, that sounds like a good idea. And yet Jesus does not say that. And I would suggest it's because of God's love and mercy. Jesus would say, not now, not yet. Because of the, for the sake of the wheat, now is not the time. Why? Why? It makes sense. We need to tear the wheat or the weeds out. I think Jesus would say in his explanation that in doing so, you may inflict bad things on the wheat. And I think he would say, you might not be able to tell the difference between wheat and weeds. And I think our pride often says, oh, no, 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 I think I'm a pretty good judge of wheat and weeds. And Jesus would say, no, you're not. I think about a man named Chuck Colson. I know the older ones probably remember the name Chuck Colson. For the younger ones, back in the day, President Nixon was caught in a scandal, and a man named Chuck Colson was called his hatchet man. Chuck had a reputation for being ruthless, for doing whatever it takes to get what he wanted. And he was one of seven men convicted as part of Watergate. For younger people, anytime you hear the word gate on the end of a scandal, it comes from Watergate. Chuck Colson was sent to prison because of his dealings in the Watergate scandal. And while he was in prison, came to Christ. I remember I was a young man, but I remember hearing about that and thinking, okay, we'll see. Right? Because there are people that, oh, I found Jesus. And I just remember thinking I had heard a lot about his reputation, and now he's sent to prison, and you're like, oh, yeah, maybe I'll get some lesser time because I have found Jesus. You see, in the late 60s, Chuck Colson, you would say, oh, weed, 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 no doubt, there's a weed, pull him out. But in the 70s, when Christ entered into Chuck's life, he changed everything. And while I had my doubts early on and thought, we'll see, Chuck produced just a huge harvest in his life. A prolific writer, speaker. He started several ministries, one being the prison fellowship ministry, where he said, I found Christ in prison. I want to make sure that that happens over and over. Maybe you know somebody in your life that not that long ago you would have said, weed. There's a Darnell plant. Doesn't even look like wheat. I mean, it is, maybe it's not even Darnell. Like, it's so obvious. That's a thistle. And then you see Christ enter into their life and change everything. And I think Jesus goes, no, no, no. Now is not the time to be guessing upon your vantage point, on your view, who's the weed and who's the wheat, and you want to pull out. No, no. There is a day coming when there is a harvest. But now is not the time to be pulling weeds. And you are not the one to be pulling them. Secondly, I think your actions can hurt those around us. You can become a stumbling block. So maybe you see somebody and you don't go, oh, that's a weed I got to pull out. But in your dealing with others, you become a stumbling block to other wheat. This is hard to keep going back and forth. Other wheat, right? You become a stumbling block. People see your actions, your heart, and they're like, oh, I thought Christ called us to this, but it's that? And you're like, yes, we need to be pulling these weeds. And your actions become a stumbling block to other wheat in the field. Sometimes we start to, it's almost like when people are accusing each other. Sometimes as wheat in the field, we start accusing each other of being weeds. Oh, you believe that? Weed. Oh, you like that? Weed. You think that version of the Bible is good? Weed. I've seen it in the last few years more and more where we track with people who track with us. But as soon as somebody says, well, I think this. Now, there's foundational stuff, okay? There's foundational stuff, but people can go, well, I think I'm supposed to love them. Weed. And I think Jesus is saying, we are not good at determining the wheat and the weeds. It's not our job, and it's not our time. There is a time coming. This is hard to navigate because I want us to know that we are called as citizens of this country to be good citizens, to vote, to speak out in love and truth about things, especially injustice for those that cannot take care of themselves. I think we're supposed to be a voice of God in the public square. But here's what I would warn us. Be careful we don't find ourselves consumed with tearing out weeds. Because that's not our job. As wheat, what are we supposed to do? Our job is to produce life-giving grain. To multiply. To let God be God and not try to be God ourselves. That's a hard thing. Because we look around at injustice. We look around at things we're like, we can't believe this is where our society's headed. Okay, God, I can't wait any longer. I've got to start pulling weeds. I think Jesus in the parable would say, hey, be wheat. Be wheat. Multiply. Be about the kingdom. Produce a harvest. Let me take care of the weeds. Takeaway number three. Do you care about what happens to the weeds? Do you care what happens to the weeds? Sometimes we can go, well, I'm wheat. I'm good. I'm all right. And we can see the weeds as the enemy. Can I tell you in this parable, the weeds are not the enemy? Jesus says who the enemy is. Satan is the enemy. He's the one sowing those seeds. Do you care what happens to the weeds? Because this description is harsh. Sharon, I heard your voice quiver when you got to the part where he says, they will be gathered and thrown into a blazing fire, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's why we're supposed to be wheat. It's easy not to care when the weeds don't have faces or names or relationship with us. It's a whole lot harder when we know and love people that are weeds. And we can say they deserve it. You know what? So do we. We didn't make ourselves wheat. It's only because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ and Him coming to get us. Do you care? Do you care what happens to the weeds? It should motivate us. It should compel us. We should have compassion like Jesus did to be about the kingdom. To be producing that life-giving grain in our lives. Fourth takeaway. Now you can start gathering the stuff. Here's a personal question I want you to think about and ask yourself. Am I wheat or am I a weed? You see, this darnel plant looks like wheat. And maybe this morning, maybe for years in your life, you have said, I'm wheat. I'm wheat. Look, I'm wheat. What's the difference? The difference comes with the harvest. What fruit are you producing? We don't want to talk about works, but the question is, what is God producing in you? Last week, Jesus said, good soil will produce 100, 60, 30 times in fruit. Do you see fruit in your life? If you don't, are you willing to ask yourself, am I a weed? I loved what Drew said last week. We all have moments where we feel like I'm hard soil. Thistles are choking me out. And maybe today you go, there's days I feel like a weed. I struggle. That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking, where's your heart? Day in, day out, where is your heart? Does it desire what Jesus does? Are you willing to let him produce? Because you cannot produce fruit. Are you willing to let the Holy Spirit produce fruit in your life? If you say no, Jesus says, come on, follow me today. I don't care if you've been an elder in this church. If the Holy Spirit's saying, would you follow me and become wheat and not just look like it? Today is the day. Do you have ears to hear today? That's how Jesus finished up. Do you have ears to hear and a heart to wants to respond to this parable? Or are you thinking, well, we got the meeting here in a half hour and then lunch and then I got this afternoon. Will you let the Holy Spirit grab your heart, open your ears to listen to what Jesus is saying today and be wheat? Pray with me. Jesus, in love, you are calling people to be a part of your harvest. Jesus, we know that on our own we have nothing to offer and we cannot produce anything. It is because of the blood and because you came to redeem us. Father, give us ears to hear and hearts that want to care about the weeds in our lives and those around us. Help us to be wheat that produces good fruit. And I ask these things in Jesus' name.